Bible. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We were in chapter 9 last week, but let's go to chapter 1 today. Gospel of John. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then you got John, fourth book in your New Testament. Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're going to look at two verses here as we read the Scripture this morning, and then we'll jump into the message in just a moment. Gospel of John, chapter 1. After we read the verses and we pray, we'll have a special and get into the preaching of God's Word today. Let's stand, please, in honor of God's good book. And we're reading now the Gospel of John, and verse number, chapter 1. And look with me, if you will, please, at verse 29. John 1 and 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And then you drop down to verse number 36, same chapter. Actually, let's read verse 35. Look at it now. Again, the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. Let's pray together. Dear Father, would you please prepare our hearts for your word right now? Would you please speak to us? God, would you please help us to come with an open heart and a desire to hear from you this morning? As the choir sang, Lord, in that happy song, Jesus spoke to me one day. And Lord, when you speak to us, wonderful things can happen. So help us this morning to bring a listening ear and a receptive heart. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Already knows what
blessing and so true. I want to speak this morning on the subject, Behold the Lamb of God. We read that statement in verse number 29, and it's repeated in verse number 36. John the Baptist is the voice who said twice, Behold the Lamb of God. So let's pray together. Dear Father, thank You for the truth of that good song we just heard. Thank You for being close to wherever we may be. Now I pray that You'll please be close to us in this service and speak to our hearts. May we have, Lord, Your presence to go with us throughout these moments that will go so quickly. And we'll thank You for it in Christ's name and amen. John the Baptist was prophesied by the Old Testament preachers as being the forerunner of Jesus Christ. John was not Christ, although Jesus said about John that there was none greater born of women. You think about that. That's a pretty lofty statement, isn't it? None greater born of women than the man we know as John the Baptist. John was just like you and me in nature, but Jesus said none greater born of women. John was the one who would go before Jesus preaching, Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Now, on this particular day, John was preaching and he was doing the work of his being the forerunner when he saw Jesus coming towards him. And as Jesus came toward John, I can see the old preacher lifting up a finger and reverently pointing at Jesus. And by the way, he didn't look like I look this morning. He didn't have a suit on and a white shirt and a tie that hopefully matches your suit and your shirt. He didn't have that. He had on a cloth garment, and he had on a leathern girdle, and he probably had a bushy beard and maybe some honey stuck on that beard, and there could have been an old locust leg hanging out of his mouth. That's what he said. And he was the forerunner. That's what the Lord chose. And he's the forerunner. And he lifts his old finger, and not accusingly, but very, very reverently, he says to those listening around him, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's a wonderful thing. Then the next day, again, John is about his work, and two of his followers are with him. And they're there, and he sees Jesus walking nearby. And doesn't say walking towards John. This time, just walking nearby. And again, John lifted his finger, reverently pointing at the Lord. And he said, Behold the Lamb of God. Now you say, I've heard all my life that Jesus Christ is King. Yeah, friend, listen. Jesus would someday sit on the throne of the kingdom of Israel. He would someday rule as king, and He will. But when He came to this earth the first time, He did not come as a king. He came as the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Now, friend, there is a big difference in a lamb and a king. Big difference in a lamb and a king. And there is a big difference in what Jesus came to do after His birth on earth and what Jesus will do when He returns on His white horse to set up His kingdom. When He comes on His white horse, He will make war, the Bible teaches us in the book of Revelation, against those who have rejected Him. And He will rule and reign with a rod of iron. Many saved people are going to rule and reign with Jesus during that 1,000-year reign. And those who are not saved, you realize there will be unsaved people on the earth during the millennial kingdom. And those who are not saved will live under His law for 1,000 years. Can you imagine how miserable they'll be? There won't be any drinking. There won't be any drugs. There won't be any casinos. That'll drive some of these folks nuts. Yeah. For 1,000 years. Going to rule and reign that way. But, and that's when He comes on His white horse, comes the second time. But that's not how He came the first time. When He came the first time, He came as a lamb. And I just want to say this morning, Behold the Lamb. Now, next Sunday is Easter. I don't always do this, but I thought, you know, being next Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, I think I'd like to just preach about Jesus Christ coming as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. We'll say three things to us this morning. Number one, about the Lamb of God. Jesus came as God's sacrificial Lamb. He said, why Lamb? Why do they call Him, behold, the Lamb of God? Why not the Lion of God? Why not the camel of God? Why the Lamb? The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He was God's own Lamb. He was God's only begotten Lamb. He was not just sent from God to this earth. He was God coming to the earth as a Lamb. The Lamb was different from all God's Lamb was different from all other lambs throughout history. How many lambs had there been on earth since the beginning of time as we know it, the creation of Adam and Eve? How many lambs had been born into this world through the natural process of conception and birth? How many lambs had been called upon to be the sacrifice for the sins of the people throughout the course of time? A lamb was used over and over and over. Thousands, folks, we could say tens of thousands of lambs. At least a lamb a day, since God instituted the ordinances of the Old Testament with the nation of Israel, at least one a day. And all these years of sacrificing lambs. But understand something, friend. All of those lambs that had been sacrificed had the nature of animals. They were all God's creatures. They had been used as creatures to be sacrificed for the sins of God's other creatures. Are you with me? Those lambs have been sacrificed for people's sin. Now, I'm going to have some of you boys. Andrew, could you help me this morning? Nick and Zach, could you help me? Nick, just stay right there. We'll get you up here in just a minute. But let me have Zach and Andrew this morning. Come over here, Zach, if you would, please, sir. We're going to let Zach, since he's the youngest, represent lambs. All right? So he's going to step up here on this step right here. Andrew, he's in sixth grade. You're sixth grade, right, Red? Okay, sixth grade right here. He's going to represent man. He's going to represent humanity, me and you and all people who have lived down through time. Now, all down through, how many years of Old Testament history, how many times had a lamb, did God create the lambs? Yes, He did. Did God create mankind? Yes, He did. Mankind didn't evolve into being what he is. God created him. All right, so we're not even going to go there this morning, but just thought I'd add that just for the sake of that. All right, so God created lambs and God created mankind. And for all of these years, one of God's creatures had been sacrificed to pay for the sins of some other of God's creatures. God created the lambs and God created mankind. And so the lambs were sacrificed for men. Now, the Bible teaches us in the book of Genesis that God gave man dominion over the animals. So that means the animals were a lesser group than man. Right? That's what that means. And you say, now look, I'm not for being cruel to animals. I think you ought to be nice to animals. But friend, if you think that animals are on the same level as people, you got another thing coming. God didn't set it up that way. You need to see the picture in my office that Brother Rex Delacruz drew and gave me for Christmas, a picture of me with a bow and arrow in Genesis 9:6, where God gave man dominion over the animal kingdom. The only problem is that arrow has a plunger on the end of it. It's the craziest picture you've ever seen in your life. And Rex drew it by hand. It's fantastic. Picture of a plunger on the end of it. But anyway, so what you had here for how many years of Old Testament history, you had the lesser dying for the greater. Are we together this morning? God's creature? Yeah. God's creature? Yeah. but the lesser dying for the greater, because that's how God set it up. So the lesser is dying. Excuse me, put my finger in your ear. The lesser is dying for the greater. That just stay right there, fellas. But now, wait a minute. When Jesus isn't Nick Lucky this morning, he gets to be Jesus. Poor choice. Wrong Nick. I would never use you to represent Jesus, Nick. Don't you remember a few weeks ago you were the guy that had sinned and done wrong and all that stuff? I can't remember that. I appreciate his willingness to help, though, amen. You call on some people and they look at you, but anyway, he's willing to help. Nick here, all right? Nick is going to represent Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist pointed his finger at Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God." Now, was Jesus a created being? No. He wasn't a created being. Jesus has existed from eternity past because He's God. He came as God in the form of a man's body to this earth, and John the Baptist called Him the Lamb of God. Now, friend, look, mankind was greater than the animal kingdom, but when Jesus came, He was greater than mankind. We're not equal to Christ. Amen. So now, do you see here what's happened? For all of these years, over and over and over again, the lesser has died for the greater. But when God sent His Lamb, friend, the greater died for the lesser. Behold the Lamb of God. Isn't that a blessing? The greater died for the lesser. God's Lamb was different. God's Lamb was not a created being. God's Lamb was His only begotten Son. God's sacrificial Lamb was greater than mankind. This was not the lesser dying for the greater. This was the greater dying for the lesser. That's a blessing, friend. Hey, thank you, fellas. You can go sit down now. I appreciate your help this morning. How could this be? How could God give His Son as a lamb to be sacrificed for lesser beings? I'll tell you how it came to be, friend. In one verse of Scripture, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." God so loved the world of people that He gave His only Son. But wait a minute. The first time, not as a king. He gave His only Son as a lamb. And not just a lamb, a sacrifice. Sacrificial lamb. For all of those years, the lesser had been sacrificed for the greater, but now the greater would be sacrificed for the lesser. You know, I shouldn't have sent you guys. Can I use you again? I'm sorry. We'll go on this side this time so these people can see, okay? Same order. Hey, got it right first time. Amen. All right, very good. Now, for all those years, watch me. When the lesser was sacrificed for the greater, all the lesser's blood could do was cover his sin for 1 year. And so when this lamb died, his blood was shed, it covered his sin for 1 year. So bring another lamb up, another lamb dies, another year of covered, another lamb dies, another year. But John the Baptist, Brother Hansen, didn't say, "Behold the Lamb of God, which covers the sin of the world." He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Here's our sin. I had to give him a cue here. Okay? Here's our sin. Here's the Lamb of God. We're going to let Nick sit down. Okay. The Lamb of God came and died for our sin. Here's our sin. Take that if you would. When He died, the Bible says He took our sin away. So take it away, Brother Caleb. And keep going. And don't stop now. And keep going. And keep going. And keep going. And see you later. And goodbye. Now, nobody else gets to do that, okay? I know you'd like to be, some of you would like to leave right now. Don't get your hopes up, okay? All right? He's coming back in a minute. I think I told him to come back in. He'll come back in.
Right? But that's what he did. He took that. Jesus took the sin away. Because, see, when the lesser dies for the greater, all he can do is cover it. But when the greater dies for the lesser, he can take it away. And then bless it. Sit down, fellas. Behold the Lamb of God. Friend, look, let that truth get a hold of your heart. Hey, there you go. He did get it. Amen. Brother Caleb, you should have seen how many guys wanted to follow you out that door. Amen. I guess you can keep my 3x5 card. That's all right. Amen. Listen to me. Let that truth grip your heart this morning. Are you in need of somehow knowing that God loves you? Are you in need of that today? Oh, I'm doing fine. Don't be so macho on me. Everybody hits that time where you just look to heaven and say, is there a God in heaven? Do you know me? Are you aware of who I am? What's my purpose? Are you in need of somehow knowing that God loves you? Are you a little bit despondent? Are you a little bit discouraged, just wondering if anyone loves you with a deep and real love? Are you searching for some sign or indication that you are the object of God's love? Can I give you a little hint this morning? Search no further. You understand, friend, that when God sent Jesus into this world, He sent Jesus as His sacrificial lamb who came to die on that old rugged cross so that your sins could be taken away. Amen. So He came as God's sacrificial lamb. Number two, let me hustle this morning and say a couple more things that will be done. Number two, as God's sacrificial lamb, Jesus came to die. He came to die. That's what sacrificial lambs did. They died. You see, when a farmer, when the Israelite man, head of the household, went out to his flock and started looking through all, our neighbor right up the street, you know, they have lambs this time every year. And during the college's spring break, we had the grandsons, Max and Kyle. And I got to take them up to the farm and walk in the barn there. And there was probably, I don't know, 25 lambs. Some lambs had just been born that morning. And here's all these lambs, and they're, you know how lambs do, you know. And the yos were there, their mothers, and boy, all the bleeding and everything going on. It was just, they were fascinated by all that, you know. And when the priest, the head of the family, would go out to the fold, he'd look all through there, and he would find one lamb. Now, when he chose that lamb was chosen to die. He wasn't chosen to be a king. He wasn't chosen to be the potentate over all the other lambs. He wasn't given a place of rulership. When that lamb was chosen out of that flock, that sacrificial lamb was chosen to die. And when God sent His Son Jesus into this world as a sacrificial lamb, He sent His Son to die. Do you understand, friend, that when Jesus Christ was 8 days old, His mother Mary took Him into the temple there in Jerusalem to do for Him after the custom of the law. And Simeon, the old devout prophet, was there waiting for the consolation of Israel. And as soon as he saw Mary walk in with the baby Jesus, the Spirit of God said to Simeon, "That's Him! That's Him!" And Simeon took that little baby in his arms and talked about the light to lighten the Gentiles. And then he looked at Mary when Jesus was 8 days old. He looked at Mary and he said, "By the way, a sword's going to pierce through your soul as well. A sword's going to pierce through your soul." Why did he say that? Because that 8-day-old baby was chosen to die. Chosen to die. Now, my wife and I have never had to walk through that horrible, dark, deep, bitter valley of losing a child. And I want to tell you something, friend. I don't care what age it is. I have seen 75 and 80-year-old people who had to bury children who were in their 40s and 50s. And when that happens, a sword pierces through their soul. A sword pierces through their heart. And we've got many folks in this room who've had to bury children. You're not in the habit of burying your children. Children bury parents. Parents aren't in the habit of burying children. And when that happens, oh my goodness, a sword. And that's what he told Mary. He was referring to the day when Mary would stand at the cross of Jesus and watch her son die, and that sword would be pierced through her own soul. When Jesus came to die. He came to die. It was foretold before. It was foretold when he was 8 days old. And that's because man's sin could only be paid for by death. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. If Jesus was the sacrificial lamb, it meant death. His death. And somebody might say, oh, Pastor Angel, can't man's sin be paid for by a good life full of good works and by living good as opposed to dying? No, friend, listen very carefully. Our sin is so great. Our sin is so awful. Our sin is so against God that its wages were as high as they could possibly be. You know what the wages of sin is? The death penalty. The death penalty. And so the penalty of death hangs over the head of every sinner. That means the penalty of death hangs over the head of every person born into this world, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own and to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, the Lamb of God, the iniquity of us all. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The death penalty hangs over our head. And wait a minute. When I'm talking about the death penalty here, I'm not talking about just losing physical life and then. When I'm talking death penalty here, I'm talking about first death, which is the loss of physical life, and I'm talking about second death, which is separation from God forever. Listen carefully, friend, this morning. Listen very, very carefully. The wages of sin is death. Eternal death. There's only one place we're taught of in the Scriptures that is an eternal place where people go to die eternally. And that's the lake of fire. A continual dying for all of eternity. Continual dying. You say, Brother Angel, I can't comprehend that. I can't fathom it either, my friend. My mind starts shutting down when I think about eternity, because everything we do and know is measured by time here on planet Earth. But when we leave this world and cross into the realm of eternity, there are no clocks, there are no calendars, there are no decades, there are no centuries, there are no millenniums. It's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And the wages of our sin is so great and so vile against God, its penalty is death, and not just physical death, but eternal separation from that God forever and ever and ever and ever. And the only thing that could pay the penalty for man's sin was death. And not just the death of anybody, but the death of the sacrificial Lamb of God. No, Jesus lived a wonderful life, but His life would not pay for our sin. It required His death to pay for our sin. And when Jesus came as the sacrificial lamb, He came to die. Well, didn't He live and perform miracles and feed the hungry and take care of the bereaving and clothe the naked? And didn't He heal sick people? Oh, yes. He did a lot of wonderful works. The Bible says if all the works of Christ were put into a printed volume of books, that the world could not contain the books that should be written. But friend, all of those acts of living, all of them, could not pay for man's sin. It took death. Folks, we didn't put these decorations up here so you could look at them while I'm preaching. Some of you have lost the concentration. That's unbelievable. Look up here. I'm not talking about visitors. I'm talking about church members. I don't see anything moving. I hope. There ain't nothing living up there. Well, look up here. Amen. Heaven, help us. I mean, they're pretty, but good night. Okay, where was I? Yeah. all of Christ's life, all of His godliness, all of His good godly works could not pay for man's sin. It took His death. God's sacrificial lamb came to die. Behold the lamb. God's sacrificial lamb. And as the sacrificial lamb, Jesus came to die. Let me say thirdly this morning, as God's sacrificial lamb, Jesus came to die by shedding of blood. You see, the blood of the sacrifice was God's way of covering the sins of His people in the Old Testament. When that lamb was chosen out of that flock, that lamb was not drowned. That lamb was not suffocated. That lamb had its throat slit. And that lamb died by loss of blood. The lamb's blood was shed. What a horrible thing you might be thinking to talk about on a Sunday morning, in a Sunday morning worship hour. Well, first of all, we're not so formal that we'll ever get away from talking about the blood of the Lamb of God. Now, let me tell you something, friend. In that Old Testament, we've been studying that tabernacle, and we came to that brazen altar a few weeks ago, and we learned about that brazen altar. That's the first piece of furniture when you come into the courtyard there. And I want to tell you something, friend. If you think that was a glorious and a sweet and a formal thing, you're sadly mistaken. It was not glorious. It was gory. There was blood on the altar. There was blood on the priests. There was blood on the ground. There was blood on the fire. There was blood. I'm talking about red, sticky, oozing, puddled blood. It was unsightly, and it made people uncomfortable. And can I tell you this morning, friend, that's how the cross of Jesus Christ was. The cross of Jesus Christ was a place of bloodshed. Jesus didn't die. Some say, well, Jesus died of asphyxiation, suffocation, because he couldn't get His breath up, hanging on that cross there, and he couldn't get His breath, and He died of suffocation. No, He died from loss of blood. Because His blood was shed, He could not push Himself up to get another breath. In fact, friend, His breath was not taken from Him. He gave His last breath away. He didn't. No. Nobody took His life. He gave it. And He surrendered it. And you know what? If there had been a coroner that day in the nation of Israel, you know what he would have written on the death certificate? The cause of death would have been loss of blood. Body was beaten. Hands, the nails driven through His hands. The crown of thorn driven into His precious brow. The nails driven into His feet. And that body being scourged 39 times with that cat of nine tails, ripping and tearing of flesh. And I won't even go into what Josephus said happened at the scourging post sometimes to men who were scourged. He lost blood. We're talking about bloodshed. Bloodshed. The messy, sticky, red, puddled blood. You say, Pastor Angel, how horrible. And I say back to you, how wonderful that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty saying. That was the price of our sin debt, friend. The blood of the sacrificial Lamb of God. By the way, Acts chapter 20, verse number 28 tells us that it was God's blood that was in His veins. God shed His own blood. The greater for the lesser. The greater for the lesser. And I want to tell you this morning, friend, I just want to come this morning and tell you, behold the Lamb of God. He was God's sacrificial Lamb. He was God's sacrificial Lamb who came to die. He was God's sacrificial Lamb who came to die by shedding of blood. You say, my, what a price. That, look here, no price was too high in God's mind to save sinning mankind. I read a story about a lady who went on a shopping trip over to London. They were into antiques and art and so forth. Her husband was an attorney in the city of New York, I believe. And she got to looking around over there, and she found a beautiful, beautiful painting by a well-known artist, and it was for $25,000. And so it was back in the days before the modern communication as we know it. And she cabled her husband, and said, found the print by so-and-so, $25,000. What should I do? Should I buy it? And he cabled her. He sent back and he said, no, price too high. And 10, 12 days later, she made a trip back home, back to the States, back to her home, back to her husband, and she had the painting. And he was indignant. He said, I thought I told you not to buy that painting. And she still had the cablegram in her purse. And she pulled it out and she said, honey, here's what the cablegram said. It said, no price too high. No price too high. And friend, when God looked down and saw us in our sin and our wickedness and our vile condition before Him, headed for an eternal separation in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever. And Gabriel, son, you're going to have to go. Yes, Father, I know it. You're going to have to be the sacrificial lamb. Yes, Father, I know. You're going to have to die. I know, Father. You're going to have to shed your blood. I know, Father. And Gabriel spoke up and said, Lord, no. Price too high. Michael spoke up and said, no. Price too high. God responded by saying, no price too high. Amen. I want them back. I want them back so bad. No price too high. No price too high. Friend, are you born into God's family? Listen to me very carefully. The penalty of sin hangs over the head of every person born into this world. That little precious bundle. We got to see a picture of her by way of email this morning. Boy, 9,800 miles away. Little eyes were bright. And I was here at the church because I didn't know the pictures came until I got here. And Cherith was with me. And we went in, turned on the pictures, and little pink hands. And I just touched the screen. That's all I can do. You know, hanging over her head this morning is the penalty of sin. Hanging over her little precious head is the wages of sin. Because as precious as she may be, she's born in this world with a nature that's against God and against Him. Sinful. I'm glad that God looked down from heaven and said about little Nellie Ann, no price too high for that precious girl. I'm going to send my son to die for her. Jesus came to this world as the Lamb of God. By the way, I'll be done with this. I don't suppose we ought to spiritualize everything, but did it ever dawn on you? Did you ever think about, I'm not sure this is even the right answer. This is opinion. Okay, I'm going to separate opinion from everything else. But you realize how John said one time, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world? And the next time all he said was, behold the Lamb of God? Maybe that's what God wanted him to say. But he only said, which taketh away the sin of the world one time. You know why? I think. Because it only took one death on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ only had to die one time to pay for all a man's sin debt. He paid the price in full. He paid your sin debt. And I just say to you this morning, behold the Lamb of God. If you're lost without Christ, not sure you're on your way to heaven, I want you to behold the Lamb of God this morning, the sacrificial Lamb of God who died by the shedding of His blood so that your sins could be taken away. There was a day 30-something years ago where Jesus picked up my sins at the altar and walked away with them. And if Jesus has never picked your sins up and walked away with them, you can have that experience this morning. Now, then church, I'm done. Launch out into the deep. 5 weeks of special emphasis of getting visitors and folks in. And what is our responsibility? The same as John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God. We have the same message today that the old preacher had in the Gospel of John. Behold the Lamb of God. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning.